ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
चक्रं चतिक्ष्व चक्रं चतिक्ष्व विहतं दशयुस्वतेजो मन्वन्तरेषु मनुवंशधरो बिभर्ति तुष्टेषु राजसुदमं व्यददात् स्वकीर्तिम् स चैव त्रिपृष्ट उशतिं प्रथयं चरित्रये Chakram, the Sudarshana wheel of the Lord. Cha, as well as. Dikshu, in all directions. Avihatam, without being deterred. Dashasu, ten sides. Swateja, personal strength. Manvantareshu, in different incarnations of Manu. Manuvamshadhara, as the descendant of the Manu dynasty. Bibharati, rules over. Dushteshu, and to the miscreants. Rajasu, upon the kings of that type. Damam, subjection. Vyadadat, performed. Swakirtim, personal glories. Sache, in the Satcha Loka planet. Tripriste, the three planetary systems. Ushatim, glorious. Pratayan, established. Charitrai, characteristics. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As the incarnation of Manu, the Lord became the descendant of the Manu dynasty and ruled over the miscreant kingly order, subduing them by his powerful will weapon. Undeterred in all circumstances, his rule was characterized by his glorious fame, which spread over the three lokas, and above them to the planetary system of Satcha Loka, the topmost in the universe. Translation responsibly. As the incarnation of Manu, the Lord became the descendant of the Manu dynasty. I ruled over the miscreant kingly order, subduing them by his powerful will weapon. Undeterred in all circumstances, his rule was characterized by his glorious fame, which spread over the three lokas, and above them to the planetary system of Satcha Loka, the topmost in the universe. Purport. We have already discussed the incarnations of Manu in the first canto. In one day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus, changing one after another. In that way, there are 420 Manus in a month of Brahma, and 5,040 Manus in 1 year of Brahma. Brahma lives for 100 years, according to his calculation, and as such, there are 504,000 Manus in the jurisdiction of one Brahma. There are innumerable Brahmas, and all of them live only during one breathing period of Mahavishnu. So we can just imagine how the incarnations of the Supreme Lord work all over the material worlds. which comprehend only 1/4 of the total energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Manvantara incarnation chastises all the miscreant rulers of different planets with as much power as that of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who punishes the miscreants with his wheel weapon. The Manvantara incarnations disseminate the transcendental glories of the Lord. Omegyan Jumadundasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militamyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaya Dadati Swapadantikam Pancha Kalpata Rubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namah Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Hare Hare. So this particular chapter is called Scheduled Incarnations. So one of the main features of the Srimad Bhagavatam is it is a description of the different incarnations of Krishna. Ultimately, the Bhagavatam is teaching us that Krishna is the ultimate or original incarnation of God. There is one verse in the very beginning of a Shastra. Any Vedic literature has a Paribhasa Sutra. A Paribhasa Sutra means a governing verse, which governs the Shastra. Just like Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, or Nectar of Devotion, we have in the first part, we have in the 11th verse, what is it called? The main verse of the Nectar of Devotion. Anyabhilashita shunyam, jnana kamadya navritam, anukuyena krishnanushilana, bhaktiya uttama. Now, what is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu about? What is Nectar of Devotion about? It is about bhakti. It is about devotion. So, it is a treatise on devotion. So that verse, Anyabhilashita shunyam, that verse gives a perfect definition of bhakti. Or devotion. What devotion is and what devotion is not. So this is Paribhasa Sutra. So this verse governs the entire book. And anything you're studying in that book, if you don't understand the context, then you just refer back to that verse. And that verse makes you understand the context of the book. It's the subject of the book. The Paribhasa Sutra means it's like the governing verse or the emperor verse of the book. Then in Sri Brahma Samhita, we have Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anadya Adya Govinda Savakarana Karan. So this verse is the governing verse of the Brahma Samhita. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says the Brahma Samhita is like a commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam. All the philosophy of the Bhagavatam is in the Brahma Samhita. Now at this point in time, we only have a very small book, which we call Brahma Samhita. That book is chapter 5 of the original work. Brahma Samhita was spoken by Lord Brahma at the beginning of creation, when he first saw Krishna, when he saw Goloka, because he had a darshan like that. It is said that he was on the lotus flower in the beginning of the universe, the beginning of the creation, and he heard the words tapa, tapa, tapa. Tapa means austerity. So he heard, I have to do austerity. So he began to go into trance, meditate very deeply. And then divine Saraswati, not his wife, is also goddess Saraswati, but divine Saraswati from the spiritual realm, she came and she initiated him and she gave him the Gopal Gayatri mantra. For those who chant Gayatri, it is the sixth mantra. the Gopal Gayatri. So he gave Gopal Gayatri. She gave Gopal Gayatri to Brahma. So he chanted that, and he meditated upon that, and he became perfect through his sadhana. This is a siddha mantra. A siddha mantra, when you are given a siddha mantra, a perfect mantra by a perfect guru, you can become perfect yourself. You can realize your siddha deha. So does anyone have a siddha mantra? Yeah, all of us have been given the siddha mantra. The maha mantra is the most perfect of all mantras. And you've been given it in disciplic succession. Even if you're not initiated yet, still you're connected to the disciplic succession. So your mantra will bear fruit. But you have to stay awake when you chant it. Please. This is important. Please be awake when you chant your mantra. You won't make much progress if you're sleeping while you're chanting your mantra. TK? Not sure. Please stay awake. It's much better like that. So it is a siddha mantra, which means, Prabhupada says, when you're chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Radha and Krishna are dancing on your tongue. Hands up if you have realized this point. Then you have to chant more seriously. Why are you chanting? Why do you chant every day? Because you have to? No. That's why we do it in the beginning, because we have to do it. But in the long term, we have to develop ruchi. Lord Chaitanya says, nama ruchi, or taste for chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Prabhupada says, why 16 rounds? Why not 16,000 rounds? That's how you should feel when you're chanting. Do you feel like that? Are you feeling like, I just want to keep chanting and keep chanting and keep chanting unlimitedly? I never want to stop. Do you feel like that? So you have to work on your chanting. It is a cultivation. You have to cultivate your chanting. It doesn't happen automatically. You have to work on your chanting and improve it. It is a siddha mantra. Siddha mantra means it can give all perfection. In other words, you can realize Krishna, Radha and Krishna are non-different from the mantra. You can realize your siddha deha by chanting that mantra. Do you think that will ever happen? It should happen. You have to work on it, cultivate it. So, Brahma was given this Gopal Gayatri mantra. He chanted the mantra and then he became perfect. He realized Radha and Krishna and he saw Goloka. When he saw Goloka, at that point in time, he heard the sound of Krishna's flute. And how did Krishna's flute manifest to him? As the seventh mantra of Gayatri, which is called Kam Gayatri Mantra. He heard the sound of Krishna's flute, and that came out as the seventh mantra, which we chant. Those who chant Gayatri Mantra, that is the sound, which Brahma, and then he uttered that sound. And that is where the mantra comes from. Those two mantras are coming from the spiritual world. All the mantras are coming from the spiritual world, but those two mantras are coming directly. Even Srila Prabhupada says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Anshalila, he says the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the sound of Krishna's flute. Right now, in Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna is playing his flute. And that sound enters this material world as the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Now he's playing his flute right now. Can you hear him? Listen, can you hear? Listen carefully, can you hear? He's playing his flute right now. And that sound, when it comes into this material world, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And it's a siddha mantra. It's pure spiritual sound. It is coming from, it is Shabda Brahma. It is pure spiritual sound. Shuddha Sattva, coming from the spiritual platform. Please stay awake. Very important to stay awake in Bhagavatam class. This mantra comes down, enters this material world, and purifies. It is a siddha mantra. when Lord Brahma, when he first saw Goloka, he chanted the Brahma Samhita. And the Brahma Samhita was made of 100 chapters. And now we only have one chapter. which is chapter 5. And this chapter is the like the Paribhasa Sutra, or the commentary on the entire... It is the most important chapter. And of the entire chapter, or the entire Brahma Samhita, which we have, that verse, Ishvara Parama Krishna, that is the Paribhasa Sutra of the entire Brahma Samhita. And Lord Chaitanya says, Brahma Samhita is a commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, in Srimad Bhagavatam, the Paribhasa Sutra, or the governing verse, is in the third chapter of the first canto, the 28th verse. It is called Ete Chamsa Kala Pumsam, Krishna's Tu, Bhagavan Swayam, Indrari Vyakulam Lokam, Mridayanti Yuge, Yuge. So, this is the governing verse of the entire Bhagavatam. This one line, Krishna's Tu, Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is not an avatar. Krishna is avatari, which means everyone else emanates from him. Who is the first expansion? First expansion, Balaram. From Balaram comes everything else. So, Krishna is the original form of God. So now we're hearing about all the incarnations. And he manifests in so many different forms and incarnations. Now, just like all of us, we have our different moods. And if you read the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion, it describes Krishna as four principal moods. Dhira Lalita, Dhirodatta, Dhirodatta, and... What is the fourth one? I cannot remember the last one. What's the last? So he has four different moods, which he is in. And when he manifests these different moods, he takes on different incarnations. Just like Lord Ramachandra is very sober. Krishna himself, the original form of God, is Dhira Lalita. Which means he's very playful. So he has different moods. Now when he manifests different moods, he takes different forms. And this is where we see the different incarnations coming from. When God gets angry, who does he become? Narasimha. He is so angry, he becomes like a half lion. Really angry. Our anger is insignificant compared to his. Most of the time, sometimes you see two devotees having an argument, and one of them is becoming angry and the other one's becoming angry. But usually when we're looking at it, we just start laughing. We just think that's not very angry. That's just funny. But when God becomes angry, no one laughs. It is the sum total of ugra. Ugra means like horrific or ferocious. Like that is the sum total. Like that. So all these different moods are here. So he takes, in this particular verse, he takes the form of Manu. He takes the form of Manu. Manu is the Prajapati. What is a Prajapati? Progenitor. Someone who populates the universe. That is a service to God, to populate the universe. Actually, Lord Chaitanya, he gave instructions to some of his grihasthas. He said, have children. Because he knew the children would be saintly people. That is the whole purpose of having children in the grihastha ashram. To produce saintly people. Of course, it's very difficult and there's no guarantee. That's why the best policy is to avoid the whole thing. That's the best. That's A grade or first class. But most of us are not first class. Most of us are in economy. Or third class. Or most of us are down the back with the chickens. Fourth class in the back. Or most of us are riding on the roof of the train. We're not like high class people. First class is you just avoid it. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, I would have hundreds of children if it was guaranteed they would become devotees. It's difficult in Kali Yuga. Like that. But still, the Grihasthas, that is their main service. If you are a Grihastha, your main service, right, if you choose to have children, is to make your children Krishna conscious. That is your number one service. Prabhupada actually said, your child is your deity. Said, more important than deity worship, when you have children, is the children. More important. Prabhupada corrected one of his Grihastha disciples. She was getting up early and going to the temple to dress the deity. Prabhupada said, no, you stay at home and you look after your child. So this is your first service. Your second service is worshipping the deity. So that is the main service for the Grihastha. So Prajapati means someone who creates progeny. So Manu, his service is to populate the universe with good progeny. Because we see what is the problem now in Kali Yuga? We have Vana Sankara. We don't have good progeny. And then what is the result? If you don't have good progeny, you have crazy people in society. And when you have crazy people in society, you have a crazy society. How crazy is society at the moment? Anyway, I can't even go into it. It's so distressing. And so, there's an event that took place last week, which was just horrific. But because of that, in the papers they were writing about the mental health issues in society at this point in time, it's phenomenal. Phenomenal. You know what the number one disease on the earth is at the moment? Right? Mental health. One in two, there's the World Health Organization, the world body, says that one in two people on the earth has a mental disease. Right? So be careful who you're sitting next to. 50% of us are either depressed or we have... what's the next one? After depression, then you have anxiety disorder. Then what's the next one? Yeah, that's starting to go down the track. That's when you start getting further. I'm just starting off with the basic stuff. You know, depression and then what's the next one? Yeah, stress. And then... they're not really mental diseases. Yeah, what's it? Yeah, like anxiety disorder. There's one where you people have panic attacks, all this stuff. This wasn't even there 50 years ago. It wasn't even there 30 years ago. Now, like Kali Yuga is so messed up, everyone's just becoming... every second person has some sort of disorder. It's just the influence of Kali Yuga. And it's interesting. A lot of it's coming from the electromagnetic waves. And if you spend too much time on computers, right, it's detrimental to your health. Because that energy, that electromagnetic energy, it affects your... And see, some people, they start to break down. It's just because of, too much electricity and touching these things. And I notice it myself. I spend too much time on a computer. Or if you have a day where you're on the phone too much, you notice it actually affects your physical well-being and your mental well-being. So you have to be careful of these things. So Manu, he comes to create good progeny so that we can have a nice universe. Hands up if you'd like a nice universe. Better you go back to the spiritual world. Because it's pretty much finished here. Kali Yuga's just, it's on track now. It gets bad. Wow. It says in the Vedas, in 20,000 years from now, there is no Ganga. You know how big the Ganga is? Have you seen Ganga? 1 kilometer wide. She isn't there in 20,000 years. That's how bad the earth becomes. And then there's another 400,000 years after that. Do you want to stay around? Then why are you so attached to the material world? You say you don't want to stay, but you're so attached. You have to let go of this world. It's a crazy place. So Manu, he comes to give good progeny and to try to get the universe in order. Not to try, he does. He gets the universe in order. He's a very powerful ruler. He rules with the chakra. Sudarshana spins. Right. So if anyone opposes him, he just invokes Sudarshan. Right? And Sudarshan comes and then... takes care of the... So what is the basic principle? The basic principle is that if you are a leader, you have to be strong. Why is this kind so powerful?
Because
look at the leader. Commander-in-chief. Lord Chaitanya says in Chaitanya Mongol, Lord Chaitanya says, more senapati bhakta. What does senapati mean? Means the general. Look at the general. Look at the the leader of the movement. That's why ISKCON's so powerful, because he is so powerful. You read the Lilamrita, right? It's just a battle. The whole thing's a battle. Yeah, and he was on the battlefield, and he was undeterred and unstoppable. And what did he say was the greatest fight? He said his best fight was Juhu in Mumbai, getting that land. He said that was the best fight. Because at the end, when Mr. Nair finally had a heart attack, Prabhupada was in New Zealand. He just looked at, he was in New Zealand. He found out that Mr. Because he'd been fighting for 2 years to get this land. And Mr. Nair was giving hard time. And after 2 years, when finally Prabhupada found out he died of a heart attack, Prabhupada said, "I've been praying to Lord Nisringadev to kill this demon." Yeah, he was a fighter. And if you read about the history of Juhu, did you hear about Mr. Sethi? He was One Life member. Did you hear about him? Good friend of Prabhupada's. He used to come every day. Prabhupada liked him a lot. He was like a good friend, and he would come, and he was a life member to help Prabhupada. So that night they came and they started to break the temple down. Right? And then we got some police to come and like stop, and then they said, if you don't have the temple rebuilt by tomorrow morning and you don't have a certificate, then we are taking the land, we are taking the deities, we're taking everything. So Mr. Sethi, he stayed up all night. He had a construction company, so he got his workers to rebuild the temple all night. And he stayed up all night at the front gate of the property with his son, and they had 2 guns. Because there was a rumor that the dacoits were going to come and attack. Mr. Nair and the others are going to send dacoits to come and attack. So Mr. Sethi heard there were 100 dacoits coming. So he said, no problem. He said, tell them to come. He said, we have 200 bullets. So he said, tell the 100 to come because we're ready and we have 200 bullets. And he stayed up all night, him and his son, in the rain with the guns, just waiting, and they didn't come because they knew they were going to get shot. And Prabhupada very much appreciated this attitude. So if you're a leader in ISKCON, you have to be willing to give your life for the deities. That's what it means. That was Prabhupada's mood. Mr. Sethi, when he was a young man, there were riots in Calcutta between the Muslims and the Hindus. He used to carry a sword. Mr. Sethi used to carry a sword because there was riots. So he was walking down the street of Calcutta when he was young, and 3 Muslim men, they jumped out and they ran at him with knives, and he took out his sword and he cut off one of their heads. Right? And then the other 2 just ran away. And Prabhupada very much appreciated. There's a spirit. You know, if you're going to be an ISKCON, you have to be a warrior. You have to be a soldier. Prabhupada said, we are soldiers in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan army. This is the mood. This is our commander-in-chief. We have to have the same spirit. That's the only way ISKCON can go forward. These days, devotees are always sick. Always mental. Oh, I can't do my service. Oh, I have a sore toe today. Oh, I have a headache. Come on. Do you think our movement's going to go on? Imagine if Prabhupada never got on the Jaladuta. You know, if Prabhupada got to the Jaladuta, oh, I'm seasick. I can't go on the boat. Oh, it's too difficult. 1 month on. You know, imagine if it had happened. No, Prabhupada was a warrior. Right? He got onto the boat and he came across. Right? 2 heart attacks. Right? Unstoppable. Right? He said that Krishna, he said if he had had the 3rd heart attack, he would have died. He said Krishna stayed up all night and massaged his chest. Prabhupada said Krishna sat on his bed and massaged his chest all night. And then Prabhupada, he drifted off and he had a dream. And all of the avatars, all the incarnations, were protecting the Jaladuta, the boat, as it went across the ocean. And the captain of the ship said he never had such a smooth crossing of the Atlantic Ocean, ever. So this is what it means. Leadership means you have to be strong. When Manu was there, when the Lord appeared as Manu, there was no nonsense. And why do we have so many problems in society these days? Because the leaders are weak. They're sentimental. Just like, you know, last year or the year before, you had that rape case in India, in Delhi. You know, famous, went all over the world. So what was the result? Right, there were five guys, right, or six guys, right? So you get the guy, they caught the guys, so you get them, and what's the court case? Right, you get a gun, you go, that's it, end of court case. That's it. There is no court case. But the leaders are so weak and so sentimental these days, the whole thing's been dragging on for 12 months. What should we do with them? What do you want to do with them? Kill them. That's what you do with them. End of story. But in this day and age, that's why we have so many problems in the world, is because the leadership is weak, sentimental, everything is compromised in Kali Yuga, and everything becomes problematic. So it says here that he chastises with his weapon. Now, Prabhupada points out in the purport that in the lifetime of Lord Brahma, how many Manus are there? In the whole life of Lord Brahma? 504,000. Right? How long does each Manu live for?
40.
Right? Each Manu lives for 71 Divya Yugas. So if you put Kali Yuga, Treta Yuga, Satya Yuga and Dwapara Yuga together, that's 4,300,000 years. And times that by 71, that's the lifetime of one Manu. Now, we take our lives so seriously. Oh, I have such big problems. My problems are so big. I can't do my service today because I've got a problem. Right? Our problems are insignificant. Our lives are like that. That's how long the whole thing lasts for. So we have to deal with our problems. It's not the problems aren't real. They're there. But we have to deal with them and we have to move on. There's service to do. Do whatever you need to do. To solve your problem so that you can do your service. Because the world needs assistance at this point in time. And who is going to save the planet? Who is going to save the earth? Prabhupada said ISKCON. He said ISKCON will go down in history for saving humanity in its darkest hour. It means you are the savior of the earth. Can you save the earth? You know, Prabhupada said to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, if all of you was fully surrendered to me, if you were completely surrendered, he said, we could take over the earth in 18 days. If all of us were as surrendered as Prabhupada is, right, we could take over the earth in 18 days. But Prabhupada said, but what would you do with it? Yeah, if the earth was given to us now, what would we do? We're not strong enough to organize it. So we have to become powerful leaders. Because society needs guidance and needs help. Now 504,000 lifetimes. 504,000 manus. So it means that eternity is a very long time. And all of these manus, and even Brahma's life, is insignificant compared to the spiritual world. Now, the spiritual world is made of three things. What is spirit made of? Or what is the spiritual world made of? What is it constituted of? Eternity, bliss, and knowledge. Sandini Shakti. Sandini Shakti means?
Eternity.
Eternity, right? Hladini Shakti means? Bliss. And samvit shakti means
knowledge
or awareness, consciousness. Right? This is what spirit is made of. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says in the Upadeshamrita, in the Nectar of Instruction, he says that devotional service, in order for us to be successful in devotional service, we need three elements. What are the three elements that we need? Third verse of Upadeshamrita. Utsahan means
enthusiasm.
You can only be successful in bhakti, in devotional service, if you are enthusiastic. Hands up if you are enthusiastic to serve Krishna. Three people, four people, five, five and a half. Very good. What about the rest of you? Where does enthusiasm come from? It comes from Hladini Shakti. It comes from the bliss potency. You know, if you want to be enthusiastic in Krishna's service, you have to be blissful. And how do you be blissful? By serving Krishna. By bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga is blissful. Right? You're serving Krishna, right? Directly serving Krishna. Everything we do is an offering to Radha Balabha. You know, have you seen this set that they're wearing today? I was very happy when I saw that. That's the set when I got initiated. 1990. Just here. I was sitting just here. My guru was sitting just here. Right? When I got initiated, they were wearing this set. So I walked in today and I felt like it was special mercy. I haven't seen this set for a long time. So the deities are giving us reciprocation all the time. And by serving them, we become blissful. Right? That is the secret of devotional service. It must be free from other motives. Krishna, I am just doing this service for your pleasure. I don't have any other consideration. Of course, we do have other considerations. That's why we're not blissful all the time. But if you're just serving Krishna just for his pleasure, you will be blissful in all circumstances at all times. Eternality. Nishchayad. Utsahan. Nishchayad. Where does Nishchayad come from? What does Nishchayad mean? Does anyone actually know what it means? Yeah, but I'm saying, what does it mean? I'm saying, what does the word mean? Nishchayad. It means determined. Or Prabhupada says confidence. Where does that come? Where do you get determination from? It comes from Samvit Shakti. Samvit Shakti means knowledge, awareness, consciousness. That's how you become determined. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, those who have life, they can preach. You have to be alive to preach. You have to be awake to preach. You have to be enthusiastic to preach. So nishchayad means determined, confident. This comes from the samvit potency. Awareness or understanding. Consciousness of who we actually are in Krishna's service. So, utsaha, nishchayad, dharyad. What does dharyad mean?
Patience.
Patience. Now where does patience come from? Sandini Shakti. What does Sandini mean? Eternality. If you realize you are eternal, you will be patient. Because you've got plenty of time. You can just wait. Prabhupada says, don't lose your enthusiasm. Prabhupada says this, don't lose your enthusiasm. See, sometimes devotees become unenthusiastic. Prabhupada says, don't lose your enthusiasm. Prabhupada says, just protect your Krishna consciousness. Even if you only preach to one person a day, but protect your Krishna consciousness so that you can remain enthusiastic to get back to Krishna. And just be patient. It takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. Right? You get up tomorrow and you have the same material desires you had last week. And then next year, same material desires. I've been doing this for, you know, a number of years, and same material desires keep coming up. Think, oh, I'm over that, and then it just comes up again. And you just think, you know, you have to be patient, it takes time. My spiritual master said to me many years ago, he said, if you stick at it, eventually you will attain everything. So we just have to stick at it, just stick at it, just stick at it, and it will come. And remain enthusiastic, get the taste for Krishna consciousness. We have to dive in deep into the fire or deep into the ocean. Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur says that if you dive deeply into the ocean of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, you will come up on the shore of Radha and Krishna's pastimes. So that is what we need to meditate upon as devotees. We dive deeply into Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. What are Lord Chaitanya's pastimes? Sankirtan. Sankirtan. That is his pastimes. So going to Crossways, that is part of the Sankirtan Leela of Lord Chaitanya. Going out and doing Harinam on the street, that is part of the Sankirtan Leela of Lord Chaitanya. Distributing books, preaching, is part of the Sankirtan Leela. And if you dive deeply, because if you see the way Prabhupada constructed ISKCON, he just pushed us to preach. That was his whole mood, was just preach and preach and preach and spread Krishna consciousness and distribute books. If you're absorbed in preaching, then you're automatically in the future, you will come up, right, with a taste for Radha and Krishna's service. But if you don't do any preaching, you'll never get a taste for Radha and Krishna's service. If you try to become advanced without preaching in Kali Yuga, it's very difficult. Not impossible, but it's very difficult. So here it says that there are 504 manus, 504,000 manus, and the last one. So just put your life in perspective. Just like if you see an ant on the ground, do you take the ant very seriously? No, we don't take the ant seriously. We just think it's just an ant. But in his world, everything's very serious. Right? Now, Lord Brahma's looking down on us right now. Is he taking our life very seriously? He just looks at me and says, it's finished. Right? But we take it so seriously. Oh, I've got to have this and I've got to have that. I've got to have two couches in my house. I've got to have green pillows on my bed. I've got to have blue wallpaper. I have to have two bathrooms. I have to have these tiles on the bathroom floor. Who cares? Right? It all goes like that. So don't take it so seriously. Just absorb yourself in Krishna's service. The material world goes on. Don't worry about that. Krishna gives everything the devotees desire. We have everything we need. But just serve Krishna and everything will come. Don't get distracted. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there are any questions or comments on what we discussed. Yes, sir.
How to keep up the enthusiasm all the time? Sometimes they are sitting and waiting. So how to keep them?
Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Mahatmanas tumam partha daivim prakriti ashritaha. Mahatma. Do you know this word? Mahatma. Mahatmanas tumam partha. If you want to be a Mahatma, then Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Daivim Prakritim Ashrita. You have to always be absorbed in the Daivi Prakriti. What does Daivi mean? Daivi means divine. It means spiritual. You have to be in the spiritual energy. So if you're always in the spiritual energy, you'll always feel enthusiastic. So how do we stay in the spiritual energy all the time? By always serving Krishna. And then, what does Lord Chaitanya say? Kirtaniyaha sada. Sada means?
Always.
And what does Krishna say in Gita? Satato kirtiyanto mam. Krishna says satato means?
Always.
Kirtiyanto mam. Krishna says, always chant my glories. Satato kirtayanto mam. And then Lord Chaitanya says, kirtaniya sada hari. Always chant Krishna's glories. Krishna says, always chant my glories. Lord Chaitanya says, always chant his glories. Our lives only fall apart when we stop chanting. If you chant, you'll be happy. Prabhupada said, chant and be happy. And then you see devotees walking around miserable. So what does that mean? It means you stop chanting. When you stop chanting, right? Because when you're listening to the Maha Mantra, right, you're with Krishna. You can't. Can you feel depressed when you're chanting the Maha Mantra? Not if you're actually chanting it. So nice. But if you are listening to your mind, what will that lead to? Mental disease. And what is the first mental disease? Depression. You associate with your mind, you'll become depressed. Pretty much guaranteed. Krishna says in Gita, mind is best friend or worst enemy. Right? When is it the worst enemy? When you listen to it. Right? When is it the best friend? Right? When you listen to Krishna's instructions. When you follow what Krishna is saying. Krishna says, Satato Kirtiyanto Mam. Always chant about me. Always glorify me. Lord Chaitanya says, Kirtaniyaha Sada Hari. Right? Always glorify me, Krishna. So when you're doing that, you can't help but feel blissful. So we have to chant. Just I was reading the other day, that famous, it's a very nice pastime. I only heard it a couple of years ago for the first time, but it's becoming more widely well known. Prabhupada was with that young girl. She was a disciple. And she came to Vrindavan in 1977 to leave her body because she had leukemia. And she came into Prabhupada and she was very upset. And her mother was with her and they were very upset because she was scared to die. And Prabhupada, it was like a darshan. He just finished his massage. He was in his gamsha. He just finished his massage. He was going to the bathroom to take bath before lunch. And she came in and she was about to die and she was upset. And Prabhupada didn't get sentimental at all. Prabhupada said, "You will die today. And I will die tomorrow. And he will die the next day." So he said, "What is the difficulty?" He said, "Everyone, just chant Hare Krishna. You will die today. I will die tomorrow and he will die the next day. But you just chant Hare Krishna." Right? And then she became pacified. And she died 6 months later in Vrindavan while Prabhupada was still on the planet. Like that. So that's the reality. The basic instruction of this whole movement is just chant Hare Krishna. That's all it is. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Is there any problem? Chant and be happy, Prabhupada said. Or the alternative is, don't chant. Get married to your mind. And be miserable forever. Or chant the Hare Krishna mantra and be happy. They're the two alternatives. Just like I was walking on a morning walk with my guru many years ago, we're just walking just near the temple, and one of my god sisters, she was a young devotee, and she was mental. Her mind was mental because she wasn't married. And my guru, he was preaching to her, and he said to her, he said, "Anyway, if you can't find a husband, Krishna will marry you." And suddenly her face lit up. So just marry Krishna. That's what all the gopis want to do. Who do the gopis want to marry? Krishna. And we're meant to be following the gopis. Gopi bhatu, pada kamalayo, dasa dasa, anudasa. Just marry Krishna. Even if you get married to someone else, in your heart, in your mind, marry Krishna. Right? Because Lord Chaitanya says, be a paramour. Paramour means get married to one person but think about the other person. Lord Chaitanya, that's what he directly instructs us. He said, be a paramour. So get married to someone else but think of Krishna. The other guy you just get married to, just, you know, yeah, have some chapatis like that, but in your heart, in your mind, you're thinking of Krishna. Then you'll be happy, because no one in this world can make you happy. Everyone can make you a little bit happy. There's no happiness. Sorry to destroy your wedding. just block your ears while I'm you can get some happiness in this world. But actually, marriage only works when Krishna's in the center. Right? As soon as the husband and wife don't put Krishna in the center, you see the whole thing just becomes a lot of fun. Prabhupada says, man is good, woman is good, but together they are bad. No. But if you put Krishna in the center, right, married life can be ecstatic. Husband and wife are serving together. I've seen many Grihastha couples. Right? You see Sankarshan Prabhu and his wife Vishnu Priya Manaji, right, serving together. Krishna, they're not in the center, Krishna is there. If you put each other in the center, you'll go crazy. Because you'll always be disappointed. Just like we were reading last night in the 8th canto of the Bhagavatam, all the women in the heavenly planets, they smell nice. All the women on this planet smell terrible. And the men. But we're so attached. Because that's Maya. Maya means happiness where there is no happiness. And Prabhupada says in the purport, that's why everyone in this world puts perfume on. Because you don't smell nice. People in this world, we don't smell nice. In the heavenly planets, everyone smells very nice. So don't be too attached. Prabhupada actually said that about marriage. He said, don't be too attached. Don't be too attached. That's the point. Nice balance. Prabhupada also said, don't be too detached either. Because marriage doesn't work when you're too detached. Don't be too attached. Don't be too detached. Just be nice. Be a paramour. Get married and think of Krishna. Okay. Any other question? Or comment?
How can we determine? If you said that you will die tomorrow and then how can we determine?
You are eternal. How can you be eternal? You are eternal. The problem is you've forgotten that you're eternal. That's the point. You think you are the body. You think you are an Indian boy who wears nice jacket. You're thinking this is who you are, but this is not who you are. Jivera, Swarupa, Hoy, Krishnera, Nitya Das. You are Krishna's servant. But in this world we think we are something else. That's why we can't be happy. But you'll be happy when you're thinking I'm Krishna's servant. Like that. So you are eternal. It's already there. It's your job description. So you don't have to become eternal. It's already who you are. Okay, any other questions?